Welcome to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? Well, it depends on who you ask. So let's just go to the dictionary. Merriam-Webster defines synergy as a mutually advantageous conjunction or compatibility of distinct participants or elements, such as resources or efforts. What? What is that? Well, I like to define synergy and explain it to people as the power of two forces coming together when they unite, becoming exponentially more powerful. Thinking about that, just in practical terms, when you add something to something else, it gets to be more than the original sources, the original amounts. 5 + 5 = 10. Okay, but if you multiply it, 5 × 5, that's 25. That's a whole lot more than 10. But you know what? 5 to the 5th power is 3,125. That's unbelievably more. As people, as humans, we have the power to come together and become something amazing, something incredible together that we could never be. We could never be while we're apart. And when I explain to people in my practice as a relationship coach that there is no neutral energy, I always explain it in terms of if you're not making something better, the absence of the better is actually making it worse. You do have an accountability for the power that you hold, not only within you alone, but when you come together with another person. Relationships have an amazing dynamic, and the power that could potentially be created between two people when they come together is based on accurate knowledge. If you have questions that you want to ask me about relationships, feel free to call in. The number is 888-627-6008. To the station, and I'll go ahead and take any of your relationship questions. But today we're going to be talking about a topic that's very, very intense, and everybody has an opinion about this: love. Well, yeah, love is pretty intense, and there are a lot of different thoughts and feelings about the feeling of love. My father told me when I was a very little girl that I should wait to sleep with a man until we were married. Well, you know what? My congregation told me that too. The Bible told me that too. But it was important for me to have my father say that to me personally, in addition to a black book and in addition to people at a microphone, at a platform. Because he always said to me, my father always said to me, if he loves you, he will wait for you. Wow. That meant I was actually important. It meant that if a man genuinely wants to give me good things, he will give them to me in a good way. And if something is very special as intimate relations, sexual relations, they really are that special because it's your whole soul. The love that you give someone when you have intimate sexual relations, that's indescribable and it's invaluable. You can't quantify what that means. And so when he always said to me, you are worth the wait. Yeah. Well, you know what? That was really good for me because I thought I do deserve someone good. I deserve to have something good. But you know what? The great thing about my congregation was they were constantly reminding me, yeah, you're worth the wait. Are you? You need to be worthy of that. You can expect and ask for good things from the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And yeah, you deserve to be treated well and cared for and respected and honored. But you know what? You got to do the same thing. You have to be the kind of person that your partner is going to say, wow, I still want to be with you after 5 years, after 10 years, after 20 years. Well, that's kind of a tall order. What kind of person do you have to be for your mate, for your partner, your spouse, to still say after a long period of time, after a lot of, well, maybe not so ideal experiences, I have just as much passion for you. I have just as many feelings for you now as I did back then. And I still think that you are worth the time and effort and energy. But you know what? That word, that love kept coming up. And sometimes when I would read different magazine articles or different books or even different scriptures about love, it was kind of confusing to me, because when I would hear profound proverbial wisdom, like, if you love something, set it free. Well, what does that mean? Let it go away. If you love it, let it go away. That didn't make sense to me. That was a contradiction. No, it was actually a conundrum, because then I learned, after asking a lot of questions, being the INTP that I am, that it's about giving them the choice. Don't force people to do what they don't want to do. That is the act of love, because not only is it unselfish, but it's also vulnerable. Okay, so that was kind of scary. What about the power of love was vulnerable? Okay, well, because vulnerable means you can get hurt. Well, if you are powerful, you don't let things hurt you. You don't let people hurt you. But yeah, actually, because love is a lot of very wonderful things that create more wonderful things. And so if you have a true love, okay, then you are going to do and say and be things that create more love inside of other people. And when people do feel that mutual love, then they are going to want to give it back. They're going to want to perpetuate it, to propel it, to create more between you. In fact, it will spill over into other parts of their life, and they will even treat other people, not you, in addition to you, better, because that love improves the quality of their soul. That's about your heart and your mind and your body and your strength. That's the entire soul of humanity. Okay, well then that means you have to build up a trust. Well, what is trust? Trust is being able to say, yeah, I know that you're not going to hurt me, and so I can be vulnerable with you, because I have the confidence not only in you as an individual, but in what we create when we come together, to know that if I let you go, you do want to be with me for your own pleasure and fulfillment and satisfaction. And if there's something that needs to be done, you'll be able to do it without hurting me, intentionally, unintentionally. But again, that comes back to the principle of neutral energy. No, there is no inactivity and there is no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative. You are either making forward progress or you are regressing. So ask yourself again, how much of your life is proactive? How much of it is reactive? How much of it is aware? I'm sure you've asked yourself these questions many times, because, you know, I grew up in the 80s. That was when the mindfulness, the self-improvement industry kept saying, you need to be the best you can be, and you have to be more spiritual. Well, you need to be smarter. You just need to be smarter about relationships. When you have someone's trust, actually 100% the vulnerability where they have said to you, I'm going to let you have power in my life. That means you have to do something. Doing nothing is actually harmful to the person who has bestowed that trust upon you. Do you think about the people that you're with, and how much do they actually trust you? How much do you trust them? And what's the mutual exchange when you are coming together? Do you believe? Actually, I kind of assume that everybody does, but ask yourself this. Do you believe that when you have power in someone's life, everything that you do is going to have an effect? Every cause, every source has an effect. And do you believe that you are responsible for the things that you do? Do you believe that you're accountable? Well, maybe not to that person. You genuinely might not care about the well-being and the health and the happiness of that person. Do you believe that there is another higher source that you are accountable to for your action? Actions, I should say, plural. What I'm going to talk about when we come back is the different kinds of principles of the different kinds of love that we all experience in different ways, at different times, in different settings. Unfortunately, again, I don't think English is the best language in the world. there are a lot of limitations to the words that we use and a lot of misunderstanding of what they each mean. Because when we use them in a passive way, or kind of randomly without any thought, they actually lose their meaning and their value. So again, when we come back, we're going to be talking about three different kinds of love: agape, philia, and eros. And the phone number again is 888-627-6008. We're going to take our first break. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a relationship coach. I started out as a life coach, and I realized that most people in life just really wanted to have better quality relationships. So on the show today, we're talking about love. And now we're going to be talking about three different kinds of feelings and behaviors and experiences that in English are all defined as love. They're called love, but they're very different. They're very distinct. And if you have any questions you want to ask me, the number is 888-627-6008. Feel free to call in and ask me a question. Okay, so what I first want to start out with is agape. Okay, when I was a little girl, I was told there's guppy love. And I'm like, what is that? That sounds so retarded. Well, actually, agape is a very interesting kind of love. It's about principled discipline. That's not really love the way we think about it, because we think of love as emotions. But I really like what's described in the Bible as love. It's in 1 Corinthians 13. What it summarized in verse 8 as is, love never fails. Okay, that's the summary. It never fails. And then the breakdown of it is patient and kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag, does not get puffed up. It does not behave indecently or look for its own interest, and it does not become provoked. It does not keep account of injuries. It does not rejoice over unrighteousness, but rather rejoices with truth. And it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Wow, that is a really tall order. But you know what? None of it is talking about your emotions. It's all about the way that you behave. Okay, so that's basically saying that you care more about the other person than you care about yourself. And that's going to make you behave yourself in an unselfish way. You know what? The truth is, sometimes we really don't like someone. We genuinely do not like that person. And we're going to have to swallow our feelings a little bit and still behave in an unselfish way. We're going to look for the interests of that person. Sometimes when we have to say, I have to put my feelings, my personal feelings for you to the side and still behave myself. Well, that's why it never fails. It will turn out well. Even in the event that we agree to disagree, okay, with mutual respect and consideration for the other person's feelings, it creates positive energy between people. I've had some experiences in the last week with people that I've never met before and I'll never meet or interact with again. Most likely, right? Maybe I won't say never. But the negative situation that we were in, that I had that interaction with them, it really did demand that even though I was very upset with what they were doing and what they were saying and what they were being, because it was unprofessional and it was a lie and it was confrontational and it was disrespectful, I still had to behave myself in an unselfish and considerate and respectful way. That is an amazing discipline that is love. And not many people have the value system to say, yeah, I really do need to behave myself. Well, because most likely they're thinking about something called philia, which is affection. That's love. That's affection in the heart. It's actual fondness, personal fondness for someone else that creates very strong emotional reaction. And in fact, let's see, I have a definition here. Often translated as the highest form of love. Okay, one sentence in African. Okay, it's fondness, especially for a specified thing, and can even be an abnormal or excessive fondness, denoting inclination towards it. What that means is attraction. When we have good feelings and warmness and affection inside of our hearts, we are very attracted to something. We want to be with it. That's not necessarily romantic love. That's just what we have for our friends or our family members. And it is going to often be the time when we feel that we are willing to do the things that I previously described as agape. When you have those natural urges inside of you, yeah, you do want to take the time and put forth the effort and do the work to make a situation better, because what you're getting out of a relationship that revolves around that kind of emotion is gratification and mutual support. You have all kinds of experiences with that person. You have demonstrations of the affection that you feel, the warmness and fondness that you feel for someone. It was kind of funny. When I was in a store with my son, he was, I think, 22 at the time. Yeah, he was taller than me when he was about 17. And it was funny because not really anyone in my family was tall. I enjoyed his largeness. And we were always very physically affectionate with each other. We would hug and kiss a lot, and he would tickle me, and I would attack him from behind, and we would wrestle around, whatever. But one day we were in the store, and we were joking about something. I don't remember what it was, but he put his arms around me and from behind, and I turned around, and I hugged him, and I kissed him, and we giggled. And some people behind us in the store said, "Oh, you two are so cute. How long have you been dating?" And I said, yeah, a couple years now. And I said, no, actually, he's my son. And they said, what? How old were you, 5 when you had him? Because I looked young. And he goes, my mom's a hottie, huh? And I just couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, it's fun that I do have that kind of warm feeling and affection for my children. They have it for me, but it's becoming a more and more rare thing in the world. And that is what is really unfortunate, because, and we'll get back to this now, most people, when they think about love, they think about it as Eros. Okay, now Eros is romantic and sexual love. It's what you feel for someone that you are going to have a committed and sexually based relationship. Yeah, that's some pretty good love. It feels really good. And you're only supposed to have it with one person for life, because it is so incredibly powerful and intense. And that's why my father always said to me, if he loves you, he will wait. Because once we have a sexual interaction with someone, we do have a different place inside of us that that person has gotten into. That's a pretty deep, pretty intense place. And we don't have room in us to have it for a lot of people. In fact, some people genuinely believe there is only one place for one person. Unfortunately, the sexual revolution and feminism said, you know what? Love isn't sex. We can just go ahead and have fun on the side, and we'll decide later if we want to have the commitment of agape and the work of philia to make this a good, lasting, forever, till death do us part commitment. It's not going to happen on its own. Sexuality, eros, love, doesn't last without a lot of investment of agape and philia as a foundation to continue it through time. When I was in Starbucks about a year and a half ago, there was a lady sitting kind of not quite right next to us because the tables were set up in a funny way, but she was close enough to hear what my husband and I were saying to each other. And she was watching us, and I could kind of see her watching us. And I even said to my husband, "Is that lady watching us?" And he said, "Yeah, I think she thinks you're gorgeous and she wants to be gorgeous like you." And I said, "No, I'm serious." She came over and said, "Hey, are you two having an affair?" And I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" And she said, "Well, first of all, because your rings don't match, but you're both wearing wedding rings. And I see the two of you together. You have such a good time. And there's this heat, this passion between you, and you hug and you kiss and you laugh. And there's no way you could be married to each other." And I said, "Wow. Yeah, actually," I was joking, "we just had our 27th anniversary." And she said, "Are you serious? To each other? You're married to each other?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, how come he treats you like his girlfriend?" And I said, "Because I act like his girlfriend. You know what? It's the agape that I have as a wife and the philia that I have as a spiritual woman, as a wife, that creates and perpetuates and propels the eros that is raw sexual love." When we come back, we're going to be talking about really what agape is in practical, literal terms in daily life. If you have any questions, feel free to call in 888-627-6008. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Today, we're talking about the power of love. And we just covered the topic of the different kinds of love. If you have a question or a comment, even I'm open to any comments that you want to contribute to the discussion, the number is 888-627-6008. Okay, so I started the last segment kind of going over the overview, the general concept of agape. But I really like a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, and I read it, but I'm going to go ahead and cover individual points that I like and appreciate, and maybe give examples of what that means in daily life in a practical way. Okay, so some of the things that I really like is, well, let's just start from the beginning. It does not look for its own interests. Well, you know what? The bottom line is, you might very well have a right to ask for what you want. And yeah, you know what? You even deserve to have whatever it is. It could be the item in the restaurant. It could be the shopping parking space. It could be the object that you pre-ordered and that someone picked up on the way to you picking it up. They got it. You know what? Being able to say, "Yes, that's absolutely my right, and it's absolutely for me, and I deserve to have that," still saying to that person, but you know what? I care more about you than I do about myself. Take it. And the next thing is, love does not become provoked. That means you cannot do things backhandedly. You cannot be angry when you are doing something that is unselfish. If you're not looking for your own interests and you do something as a loving act, a kind gesture, you have to be 100% good with it in your heart. And I was even talking to my husband about this yesterday. What you do is not as important as why and how you do it. True, disciplined, unselfish love is about caring more about the other person than you do about yourself. So when you are being generous, not looking for your own interest, but rather the well-being and happiness of others, you do it without any negativity. Because again, when we're talking about synergy, what we create with other people, there is no neutral energy. If your energy is not positive, it is thereby negative. By definition, it defaults into negative energy. Now, this is the one I really like. It does not keep account of the injury. Okay, ladies, how hard is this one for us? This one's tough. Not keeping account of the injury. We have amazing minds and we do need to remember everything, because if we are going to multitask as amazing women that we are, yes, how do we not remember every detail of everything, of every experience we ever have? Yeah, you know what? Actually, it doesn't keep account of the injury. When we have true agape, we have made peace with an experience and we do not need to think about it. And when we think about it, our negative feelings are not there anymore. It's not an account of the injury. It changes into a learning experience, a growing experience, an opportunity for self-improvement without the negativity. Yeah, you know what? Everything we do is permanent in our minds. That's how cool our minds are. That's how amazingly great our brains are. But when we're talking about the next point, it does not rejoice over unrighteousness, over badness. When there is something that has gone wrong, something that has happened that is wrong, we don't enjoy it. Some people genuinely do enjoy and they revel in badness and negativity. True love does not rejoice over badness. It really does pursue goodness. And that's why it rejoices with the truth, because when we have the truth, we know what is good and we know what is right. And then we have the power to do things that are right and to be things that are right. It takes a lot of humility to do that. Do you know how to be humble? To say, yeah, I need to change my mindset. I need to change my perspective in order to stop enjoying badness. Just for the sake of the principle, not the situation. Because you know what? We're going to have a thousand situations a day where there is badness. It's not about the individual situation. It's about how you're feeling before you ever entered that situation. And this is when it's talking about rejoicing with the truth. That is a personal value system that you have as a general modus operandi. Everything in your life, everything that you do, how truly honest are you with people? Because if you have an unselfish love, you will be able to be honest with them without hurting them. And that's the unselfishness. That is the genuine interest in others that does not become provoked or keep account of the injury. You know how to create the truth and propel the truth in order to create goodness in the world without negativity. Wow. That seems like, well, easier said than done. No, you know what? It's actually not as hard as you might think, because when you have a good, positive energy, it's not so hard to do good things. It's a natural process. That's how our hearts and minds and bodies are. And that's why the next part says it believes all things and bears all things, endures all things. It hopes all things. It literally is constant. It is an endless source and propelling force. You never run out of it. In fact, the more you have and the more you give, the more you create. And that is infectious and it's contagious. And that positive energy and that truth will then encourage and support other people in their attempt to do the same thing. When you bear all things, you can say, it's okay. What you did was okay because I forgive you. And I'm not going to keep account of the injury, and I'm going to continue to hope for the best, even if you prepare for the worst. Okay, so then let me ask you this. Have you ever thought just about yourself personally, not as a general principle for all of humanity? What do you think is harder, not doing bad or doing good? they're both challenging, we'll say that, challenging in different ways and for different reasons. And obviously in different situations, certain things are going to be easy, certain things are going to be hard. But you know what? Doing good really isn't that hard. I think since we live in the world that we live in, that is constantly doing bad, it's a whole lot harder to not get involved with the people and the events and the things and the entities and all of this stuff going on around us, especially with the media, not doing bad things, because it can almost accidentally happen, almost as collateral damage when you're doing something good. Yeah, so COVID-19 has really created social distancing on an emotional level. So getting that positive connection with people reestablished and getting the love reestablished and the connection built, it's very good to remind yourself that when you're loving, it's good for your health. It releases some great chemicals in your body to continue to build up your strength and endurance and energy physiologically, because your thoughts and feelings are going to be the source of your biological health. And when you are doing good things, yeah, you can be more aware of the things going on around you that are bad, that you can say, you know what, I'm just going to take a step back from this. Or you can choose to say, now that I'm mindful of potentially bad things that are going on, I'm going to be proactively positive, doing good things that will conquer the evil. And that's much easier for anybody, everybody, if there is that agape of principled love that is unselfish, genuinely looking for the best interests of others. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the opposite of love in very specific ways. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. If you have any questions or comments you want to contribute to a discussion about love today, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. Now, we're talking about different kinds of love and the social responsibility that we have when we interact with people because of the synergy that we create with people. There is no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative. So now, something that kind of fascinated me as I was growing up too was I always thought the opposite of love was hate. Well, no, I was actually told kind of early puberty years that the opposite of love is indifference. And I thought, what? Indifference means you don't care. At least that's what I thought. And then I was told, I was explained, well, actually, because if you hate something, then you still have those intense feelings. Love is an intense feeling. And so hate is also an intense feeling. The actual opposite of intense feeling is no feeling at all. And I thought, okay, you know what? Conceptually, I can appreciate maybe the principles of that. But then I heard indifference and apathy as I was growing up and kind of defined in different ways. And I thought, well, but they're kind of the same thing, right? Just not having any feeling, because love is a feeling and the opposite of love is having no feeling. You know what? Apathy is not the same thing as indifference. Okay, well, what is indifference? Let's start with that one. So indifference is, let's see, the definition is lack of interest, concern, unimportance. Lack of interest or concern, that means unimportance. Okay, so indifference means you don't see any difference in the different things, and so you're not really interested in knowing anything about it. There's literally an absence of any feeling. But that means, you know what, you could still be okay with something happening because you're just not personally interested in it. So, you know, it's okay either way. Okay, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you could potentially at some point have good feelings about something or have bad feelings about something. It's just that in this moment, you don't have an opinion about it. And I went, okay, yeah, you know what? That's good. I think I can do that. But what is apathy? It is a lot more intense than indifference, because indifference is about a topic, a subject, an issue, whatever is going on. Apathy is actually suppression of emotion. Okay, that means you have turned something off inside of yourself that's almost the same as being disconnected from yourself. That's not about the one thing that, yeah, you just don't have an opinion about. That is genuinely turning off the source of your heart, your feelings. And that's going to infect, not affect, infect everything that you do with, to, for, and around the people in your life. Even if you're not directly interacting with them, it is going to contaminate the way that you perform activities that will eventually affect other people. Again, everything in life is intertwined and it affects everything else. For every action, there is a reaction. And when the things happen simultaneously, they saturate not only the immediate environment, but all of the results that are going to have an effect on the other people who were involved. Wow. Apathy is pretty scary, because it means that you have to do a lot of work to reconnect yourself. When you are detached, that's not the same thing as disconnected. Detached from one particular thing is being able to say, I am not going to be affected by this particular thing. Disconnected means you're not even affected by yourself. You don't care about yourself enough to be able to place value or priority on something. Okay, now let's get into the hatred part. Now the actual, let's see, definition of hatred: intense dislike or ill will. Okay, well, that doesn't seem too bad. Well, but intense dislike, how intense are we talking about? The toxicity of genuine, intense dislike, that can be very powerful, because not only is it going to affect what you do, but it's going to affect how you feel, right? Emotionally, it's going to provoke and stimulate other feelings like anger and resentment and even fear, because that creates a situation where survival might actually be an issue. If there is hatred for something, it's because that thing or that person has presented something so negative in your life that your body and heart and mind are now telling you that you need to get it out of your life. That could be either from just forcing it to go away, or it could be completely destroying it. You have personal power. When you have hatred, you have the ability to destroy things. You have the ability to do harm, irreversible, irreparable harm to something. And I did kind of like the expression when I was growing up too. Hell hath no fury like the wrath of a woman scorned. Yeah, ladies, when we have intense anger, when we have intense hatred inside of us, we're worse than the devil in hell. We have the, okay, well, that's something to think about, because how often do we as people, men or women, feel that intense negativity? And when we do feel it, what do we do with it? Now, okay, so when we're talking about what is the most harmful to all of society, right? Okay, apathy or indifference or hatred, because they all have different reasons why they could be harmful to people in the world. They could be hurtful in different ways. When we're talking about apathy, it's harmful because it stops you from doing things that you would otherwise do if you cared. If you had a love for something, you would have a personal investment in that person or that thing that would motivate you to take action. So you're not doing anything. Okay, well, but if you're indifferent, it just means you're waiting around to do something because you're not really into the situation. So you're wasting time, probably missing out on opportunities that if you did have an opinion one way or another, you would actually say, let me get more involved in it, even if it's just getting involved in someone else doing it. Sometimes we don't think about other people doing things. We are very motivated. Other people's thoughts and feelings. And so if our feelings aren't going on, then we might not be as aware of other people's feelings the way we would if ours were turned on. But then hatred is proactively harming people, knowingly, willfully harming people for our own gratification or for our own, what we're thinking, maybe peace of mind. If we say, yeah, if I hurt them, they're not going to hurt me. I'm going to feel better. You know what? You never really feel better. So when we're talking about how to conquer something like that, overcome whichever one of those things, ones of those things we have most going on in our life, not even necessarily by us, but from the people in our lives, how do you conquer the evil with good? Well, let's go back to that agape. When we have that trust of the good, the way that we described it, love for our enemies, making personal sacrifices, having it be unconditional and without any expectations of anything in return, not looking for our own interests, we can then say, yeah, I know for a fact that whatever these different feelings are going on inside of me, they can be overcome, they can be conquered, they can be improved with the replacement of principled agape love. Then what happens is the philia can come. It can be generated through the positive experience, because then the synergy is created in that experience with that person. And when we have those experiences and we bond with people, we become more powerful, exponentially more powerful as a group, as souls, as humans. We're going to take one last break. If you have any comments or questions, again, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. And in the last part of our show, I'm going to be talking about kind of a variety of different subjects that all relate to the things that we've gone over today. And the bottom line is we have a lot of personal power to do good or bad things. I actually am a relationship coach, so I have my practice on the side. And yesterday I was working with a client who said, you know what, I think I'm ready for a romantic relationship. And there's been a lady who has shown interest in me. And so I asked him a couple of questions about what do you want in a relationship? It's loving for you to be very honest, right? Telling the truth at all times, but you can't be honest if you don't know yourself. So we did a few exercises about what he thinks and how he feels, but you know what? She's international and their correspondence sometimes is in written form because you know what? That's the way the world works now. Everything's on the computer, everything's on the phone, and texting is better than talking. There was a really great movie called Lost in Translation because sometimes there literally aren't the words to say. And so I had to refine and redefine certain things and say, okay, but when she says this, what does that mean to you? Because that might not be what she meant. So let's talk about the minutiae little details of, yeah, that's huge. When we're talking about potential misunderstandings, how important is communication? Well, you know what? I love pizza. There's a great pizza. I absolutely love it. Okay, you know what? That's not agape. That's not philia. That's not eros. Okay. In Spanish, I love something. They don't say I love pizza. They say pizza enchants me. Ooh, I kind of like that. Yeah, pizza enchants me. That's much more descriptive, and it's even more accurate because what it does is it takes me out of the world that I'm currently in and creates a sensation and an experience for me that is very, very pleasurable. Okay, so when we think about how do we really feel about love? Well, we think, well, it's a given. Of course, we know where they. No, we don't know because different people feel different things. And when they say certain words, they could mean different things. And again, one of the beautiful things about being human, the animal kingdom does not have this. Human emotions are very inconsistent. They can literally change from one moment to the next. And again, when we're talking about the synergy in a romantic relationship, two different people constantly being aware of each other's emotions and responding to those emotions can be a full-time job in and of itself. Forget the stuff you're actually going to do. Tending to how you feel, how each one of you feels is in and of itself a job, its own job. So when you're thinking about the potential misunderstandings and the inconsistency of emotions, that is for men and women. The human variable element is your personality. So let's go ahead and sprinkle that complication in there too. So not only, again, let's go back to just marriage, okay? When you have the eros for each other, that gives you some motivation to do the language work, right? Because when you're done and you're on the same page and you agree and your minds are in sync and your heart's in sync, your bodies can get in very good eros sync. Okay. But then when you have philia for the person that you're with, that affection that you have for them, that truly personal interest in their happiness, you can say, yeah, the inconsistency of your emotions matters to me because my fondness and affection for you give me the endurance and the strength and the energy to keep doing the work where other people might have said, you know what, I'm writing this off as a loss, forget it, it's not worth it. Well, yeah. Philia makes anything that you do a good ROI. But again, the human variable element of personalities, you just need agape for that. Okay. I'm sorry, but there are just going to be some people in your life with a certain personality profile that you're not going to like. You're just not going to like them. And you know what? They're not going to like you. People in my life that out of respect, I'm not going to name their names on the air, but they know that I don't like them and they don't like me. And I know that they know that I know that they know that we don't like each other. But you know what? Agape means that when they come around, I can actually hug them and not feel resentment, because the human variable element says we need something that is just foolproof. And you know what? Agape is foolproof. Even when you are right and they are totally and completely wrong, you're still okay saying, but it's okay. I'm going to let you win. I'm going to let you have this one. I'm going to let you get in front of me in line at the store. And I'm not going to keep account of the injury, because you are important to me as a principle, as a human, as a concept. Your thoughts and feelings are just as important in the world as mine. That's true love. And that's what all humanity needs. Now, your synergy with others, in conclusion, in summary, your synergy with others is based entirely on the quality of your heart. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There is no neutral energy. If you are not contributing to the solution, you are propelling the problem. Get your heart conditioned in a very high quality state. Go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 13. It's a good chapter of a good book. And ask yourself, what is the quality of my heart in my life? How much of your life, take an inventory, is about love? Any of the kinds of love that we were talking about, the three different kinds. Which kinds are you most inclined towards? Because you know what? Believe it or not, some people have a problem with affection. Some people have a problem with Eros, the sexuality. Okay, well, maybe you need to have a look at that and take care of yourself to get yourself into a higher quality state, so that when you come together with others in whatever capacity, in whatever kind of relationship, the higher quality state that you are in is going to not only make you exponentially better with that person, it's going to make them exponentially better with you. And then when they are finished interacting with you, they are going to take that elevated quality of their mental and emotional and physical state to whoever and whatever they do next without you, with you not around. How pure is your love in any form? If you know your personality and you know your personal history and how those things, you know, nature mixed with nurture are going to modify your behavior, they're not going to change the quality of your soul. They're not going to change who you are. How pure is your love? And what potential things in your life could be impeding you, preventing you from manifesting the highest quality of love? Any kinds, any of those three kinds of love, in any kinds, any potential relationship situations, when you have to be with someone, do you know how to be good in all of those ways by getting yourself to a high quality state? And I'm going to finish off by telling you all the thing that my father said to me that changed my life when I was trying to pull a fast one on him. He got real serious and he said, "Sweetheart, be careful. When you lie to yourself, it's unbelievably horrible. You can lie to strangers, you're going to miss out on opportunities, great opportunities. When you lie to the people that you love, you're going to die alone. When you lie to yourself, you've got nothing left. It's all over. Be honest with yourself. Do you know what your power is? Do you know what your love is? The power of synergy is based on the quality of your love." Thank you for listening to the show today. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.